So I found a list of fun things to do during boring sermons. I hope you don't do them today. If you're tempted, I'll know, though. Fun things to do during boring sermons. Pass a note to the pianist or organist asking them if they play requests. See if a yawn really is contagious. It's terrible up here when you see that. Slap your neighbor and see if they turn the other cheek. If not, raise your hand and tell the minister. Don't try it in the choir, at least. Listen for the preacher to use a word beginning with A, and then listen for one for B, and maybe create a whole list as you're going through this sermon. Sit in the back row and roll a handful of marbles from the back to the front. After the service, come up front and give yourself 10 credits for each one that gets to the front. Start from the back of the church and try to crawl all the way through to the front through the chairs. Raise your hand and ask the minister questions or ask them if you can go to the bathroom. Chew gum. And if the sermon gets longer than 15 minutes, start blowing bubbles. Try unobtrusively drawing your arms into your sleeves and turn your shirt around backwards. I'd actually see that. I could see that. Try to raise one eyebrow. I know some of you are going to do it too. And finally, wiggle your ears so that the people behind you will notice. I don't care. Go ahead. Do it. Try them. We continue on with our scripture from the Gospel of John this morning following the resurrection story last week. And today we hear about Jesus' appearance to the disciples in the room where they are staying. Let's listen to our scripture from John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called a twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. May God help us to take to heart this, our holy scripture today. So I put up a few, you know, we're all different. We all have a different sense of humor. And so some of us are auditory. We listen and we laugh. Some of us are visual. So we need a few visual reminders of humor. So Keith, I have put a few up for us today. Looking at the Ten Commandments. I don't know about you, but I've only found a couple that work for me. And this is one of our favorites where he found this. And the Lord said unto John, come forth and receive eternal life. But John came fifth and received a toaster. And I found this one on a sign outside St. Michael's Anglican Church. Silence is golden, duct tape is silver. Today's Holy Humor Sunday has its roots in history. For centuries in the Orthodox Church in the East, Easter Monday and Bright Sunday, it's called, the Sunday after Easter, were observed by the faithful as days of joy and laughter, with parties and picnics to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Parishioners and pastors actually played practical jokes on each other, drenched each other with water, sang, and danced. It was a time for the clergy and people to tell jokes and to have fun. The custom of Easter Monday and Bright Sunday celebrations were rooted in the musings of early church theologians like Augustine, Gregory of Nyssa, and John Chrysostom, that God played a practical joke on the devil by raising Jesus from the dead. Easter was God's supreme joke played on death. Rhesus Paschalis, it was called, the Easter laugh. That's what the early theologians called it, the Easter laugh. And what is the ultimate expression of that joke? How are we as Christians to respond today to the resurrected Christ? Because if our faith means anything, it's going to mean something for us today. So I thought I'd demonstrate what it means today. Jack, are you a trusting soul? Would you come up and help me out? Brad, would you come and help me out? Yeah? Larry, would you help me out? I needed some strong guys here. Not for that. I can manage that. Okay, if you guys would, Larry, if you'd come and face Brad here and grasp wrists tight. Yep, good. Jack, can you come here? Turn backwards. And you're going to do a trust fall. Do you know what that is, guys? Okay, so you know what you're supposed to be doing. So I'm going to invite you to keep rigid, okay, and close your eyes and fall back. Awesome. Good. Jack, you're very trusting. Okay, stay here with me for a minute. Thanks, Jack. Just stay here for a sec. Okay, so have any of you ever looked back on your life and saw God at work in your life? Or you've said, God has been there through some of my most difficult times. God has brought healing into my life. God has brought joy and family. God has brought so much into my life. Yes, we can be grateful. That's not faith, though, at this point. That's looking back and knowing that God was with you in those times. It's not faith when we know God was with us. Here's what faith is, though. Can you do the same? Jack, I'm going to have you face them. And I'm going to have you close your eyes and stand on your tiptoes, and you're going to fall forward. Awesome. Thank you, Jack. Well done. Thank you. That's good. Thank you. Here's the thing about resurrection faith. If it is truly faith, we will fall forward into faith. We will trust that God, that Christ has gone before us, and that God will be there before us, embracing us, caring for us, looking after us in the future. That our worries can be lifted, that we can live lighter lives because God is not dead. Christ is not dead. Christ is risen, and Christ is already there ahead of us, and that is faith. We trust that God is going to be there no matter what, and we do not have to worry. That doesn't mean we won't go through tough times. doesn't mean we won't struggle. That doesn't mean there aren't difficulties ahead. We know that's not realistic. What it's all about, though, is that we have faith that God will be there. Therefore, we don't have to worry. We can live in the moment and trust God for our future. I am convinced that when Jesus showed up for those disciples and said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I leave with you," it's not the peace of the world. The peace of the world is fractured, and it can be broken at any moment. But the peace of Christ that he said he would leave with us is a peace that we carry with us no matter what happens. No matter what we encounter in our lives, that we can feel that deep peace, that security, that certainty that God is going to be there. That we can know that now, and we can know that for our future. Because we can fall forward into faith, trusting that God will be there. That is the peace that Christ said he came to bring. And when Thomas saw Christ, and he looked at him, he said, "My Lord and my God, there will be no other." And Jesus said to him and to us, "You believe because you see. But blessed are those who believe without seeing." That is faith. We have to be faithful. We have to trust God. Because, quite frankly, sometimes we're goofy. Sometimes we as human beings do goofy things. And we do it to each other. We have to trust that God is there, nevertheless, caring for us. One of the great theologians of her time was Julian of Norwich. And in the midst of a very difficult life and very difficult illness, she had this to say. She wrote this: "All shall be well. And all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well." This was her faith. She said that the greatest honor we can give Almighty God is to live gladly because of the knowledge of God's love. We can live gladly. We can live with joy and anticipation, hope and faith. We can take ourselves lightly if we take God seriously, because God is always there. So laugh, express your joy, because that's what resurrection is about. We are a joy-filled people because we get the joke. The joke is on the world. Christ has risen. Death has been overcome. We have faith. Trust God. It's the greatest expression of faith when we leave the future to God and we live in the moment. It doesn't mean we don't do anything. Of course we do. God told us that we are to tend to creation, that we are to be good stewards, to live wisely, but to trust God with whatever is out of our hands. I came across some transcripts from real court cases that told us how goofy we can be. And as I read through them, I thought, yeah, we're just silly human beings, sometimes being silly. And the court reporters, I can't even imagine how they kept straight faces when they had to write down these things that people said. So I thought I'd share some with you. The attorney said to the witness, "This myasthenia gravis, does it affect your memory at all?" And the witness said, "Yes." Attorney said, "And in what way does it affect your memory?" And the witness said, "I forget." The attorney said, "You forget. Can you give me an example of something you forgot?" Okay. Attorney, "Now, doctor, isn't it true that when a person dies in his sleep, he doesn't know about it until the next morning?" The witness said, "Did you actually pass the bar exam?" attorney. The youngest son, the 20-year-old, how old is he? Witness, he's 20, much like your IQ. Attorney, were you present when your picture was taken? Witness, are you kidding me? Attorney, she had 3 children, right? Yes. How many were boys? None. Were there any girls? Witness, Your Honor, I think I need a different attorney. Can I get a different attorney? Attorney, how was your first marriage terminated? Witness, by death. Attorney, and by whose death was it terminated? Witness, take a guess. Attorney, can you describe the individual? Witness, he was about medium height and had a beard. Attorney, was this a male or female? Witness, unless the circus was in town, I'm going to guess male. Attorney, doctor, how many of your autopsies have you performed on dead people? Witness, all of them. The live ones put up too much of a fight. Attorney, all your responses must be oral, okay? What school did you go to? Witness, oral. Attorney, do you recall the time that you examined the body? The witness said the autopsy started around 8:30 p.m. And the attorney said, and Mr. Denton was dead at the time? Witness, if not, he was by the time I finished. And finally, attorney, doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse? No. Did you check for blood pressure? No. Did you check for breathing? No. So then is it possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy? No. How can you be so sure, doctor? Because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar. Attorney, I see, but could the patient have still been alive nevertheless? Witness, yes, it is possible that he could have been alive and practicing law. Nancy, I'm glad you're laughing. Apologize to any other lawyers. There seem to be a lot of lawyer jokes. We're human, folks. We make mistakes. We laugh at ourselves. We laugh at others. We take ourselves lightly. May the peace of Christ that transcends all understanding be ours now and forevermore. We're going to spend a little time in silence and lighting our candles, time of reflection and prayer for whatever concerns or celebrations or joys you might have. And then we are going to join together in communal prayer, and I'll explain that after in just a moment. So let's join together in some time of prayer and reflection.